book and 11, chapter 2. Chapter 11, chapter 2, Maharaj Vini meets the nine yogendras. Text 41. Kam vayu agnim shariram mahim cha.
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 Yodim shi sattvani vishodhumadim. Jyotim shi sattvani vishodhumadim. Sarit samudram sahare shariram.
Sarit
samudram sahare shariram. Yatkim shabhutam paranamer ananya. Yatkim shabhutam paranamer ananya. Vayu Agnim Shariram Mahim Cha. Vayu Agnim Shariram Mahim Cha. Jyotim Shi Sattvani Disho Dhrumadin. Sarit Samudram Sahare Shariram. Yatkim cha bhutam pranamed ananya. Kam vayu agnim shariram mahim cha. Jyotim shi sattvani disho dhrumadin. Sarit samudram sahare shariram. Yatkim cha bhutam pranamed ananya.
Samudram sahare shariram.
वायु एयर अग्नि फायर शरीरम वाटर मही अर्थ च एंड ज्योतिषी the sun, moon and other celestial luminaries Satvani all living beings Disha the directions Dhrumadin trees and other immovable creatures Savit the rivers Samudran and oceans also Hare of the Supreme Lord the Deer Shariram the body Yat Kimcha whatever Bhutam in created existence Praname one should go to Ananya thinking nothing to be separate from the Lord Translation and proper prayer. Disciples of this divine grace seek to clear out the Supreme Lord. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Ether, fire, air, water, earth, the sun, and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees, and other plants, the rivers and oceans, whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider it to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus seeing everything that exists within the creation as the body of the Supreme Lord Hari, the devotee should offer his sincere respects to the entire expansion from the Lord's body. Prabhupada, Srila Jiva Goswami has given this example from the Puranas.
यत् पश्यति तत्तु अनुरागातिशयेन जगद्धनमयं लुब्धा कामुका कामिनीमयं इतिवत् हरे शरीरम् बिकॉज ऑफ ए ग्रीडी पर्सन्स ऑब्सेशन विथ मनी वेर एवर ही गोज ही सीज एन अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर एक्वायरिंग वेल्थ सिमिलरली ए वेरी लस्टी मैन नोटिसेस वुमेन एवरीवेयर इन द सेम वे A pure devotee should see the transcendental form of the Lord within everything. Since everything is an expansion of the Lord, it is our practical experience that a greedy man will see money everywhere. If he goes to the forest, he will immediately consider whether it would be profitable to purchase the forest land and sell the trees to a paper mill. Similarly, if a lusty man goes to the same forest, He will look everywhere for beautiful women, tourists, who might happen to be there. And if a devotee goes to the same forest, he will see Krishna there, knowing correctly that the entire forest, as well as the sky canopy above, is the inferior energy of the Lord. Krishna is the supremely sacred, being the supreme personality of Godhead. And since everything that exists expands directly or indirectly from the body of the Lord. Everything is sacred when seen through the eyes of a self-realized person. Therefore, as stated in this verse, Pranamet, one should offer one's sincere respects to everything. Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned that we should see the personal form of Krishna everywhere. This verse does not approve of the impersonal atheistic philosophy that everything is God. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya has quoted from the Harivamsa, Sarvam harer vashatvena shariram tasya vanyate anyadipatatichvaccha tad ananyam udiryate nachapi abedo jagadam vishno purna gunasyatu. Because everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord Hari, everything is considered to be His body. He is the original source and master of everything. And therefore nothing should be seen as different from Him. Nonetheless, one should not foolishly conclude that there is absolutely no difference between the material universe and Lord Vishnu, who is full of His own unique spiritual qualities. The example is often given of the sun and the sun's rays. The sunshine is nothing but an expansion of the sun globe, and therefore there is no qualitative difference between the sun and its rays. But although the sunshine is situated everywhere, and although everything is a transformation of the sun's energy, the sun globe itself, the source of the sunshine, is not everywhere, but is situated in a particular place in the vast sky and has its own specific form. If we penetrate further into the sun globe, we shall find the sun god Vivasvan. Although pseudo-intellectuals of the modern age, who are incapable of even counting the hairs on their own heads, will consider the sun god a mythological figure. It is actually the foolish mythology of modern man to think that such a sophisticated apparatus as the sun, which provides heat and light for the entire universe, can function without intelligent administration. Transformations of solar energy to make life possible on the earth, and thus the earth can be understood to consist of an endless variety of secondary manifestations of the all-pervading solar energy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Ayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seek the blessings of senior Vaishnavas here and all the devotees that have assembled for the class, and those devotees that hear online through FM. Seek everybody's blessings to speak on this highly exalted scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And for somebody who is not at all deserving to speak on this, especially on this sacred seat, seek the blessings. And a brief of history, that when I was asked to give the class on this verse, the date was matching with our Chandan Yatra Darshan, and I was not sure if I will be able to do justice to both. And as we were preparing to show this model, I don't know if I have enough matter to speak, as I was, my whole consciousness was there trying to make that happen. But whatever I could prepare, I'll just share. And this particular Srimad Bhagavatam, it is speaking about the highest dharma, that is called as the Bhagavad Dharma. All other Puranas, different religions, they focus on inferior dharma. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is focusing on the highest dharma. And in regards to, just like in this verse, it is being compared to Hare Shriram, that the whole universe is actually the body of the Supreme Lord. Same way the Srimad Bhagavatam is also compared to the form of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the transformation of the same Lord. And the 11th canto is considered to be the forehead. And whatever is heard, usually after Shravanam is Mananam. So the Mananam usually happens in the head. And therefore, lot of philosophy and summary is being discussed in the 11th canto, the forehead, where all the data is supposed to be stored. And if it doesn't happen, then usually we say, knowledge goes through ISKCON and it goes throughout this Khan. So, it should store in this place and then it should also come to the heart. And so therefore hearing is very important for us to be able to get this understanding that how not just the Supreme Lord is there in the spiritual world, but how He mercifully also comes and expands Himself through His marginal potency, through His external potency in this world. And Prabhupada here, Srila Jiva Goswami here, is giving an analogy that how we can see God everywhere. Just like a greedy man, he sees money everywhere. In everything that he sees money. And he gives example that if a greedy man goes to a forest, there he'll see how he can make business. And if he goes to a lake, or say Ganga, he'll think how he can sell. Once in a MBA, in a business school, the professor wanted to show a demonstration. I was recently sharing this example elsewhere also. So he took all of them to the lake. And he took a matka also. And he told everybody that, you know what is business? I'll demonstrate to you. This lake is currently the public property. It belongs to everybody. And this matka which I have empty is my strategy, my plan, this private property. And then he used that matka to take water. And then he said, and although the water was public property, now once I take the water in my matka, it becomes private property. So what is business? To make public property into private property. And that's how a businessman thinks, how he can use his different matkas, different strategies to be able to make money. And when I was studying at IIT, the last 3 years I was staying in Hostel 7. And this Hostel 7, every hostel is given a name. Although it is impersonal, every hostel has a theme or a name. And Hostel 7 and my particular room was just adjacent to a lake, the Powai Lake. It is one of those hostels that is just next to the lake. And the name of this hostel was called as Lady of the Lake. Because being in youth, when you go to a lake, what do you remember? You remember that, okay, if I have a lady with me, and if a lady comes out of the lake, then I can have a nice time. So a greedy man, when he goes to the lake, he tries to take the matka and take that water and go and sell it. If a lusty man goes to a lake, he'll try to see how he can enjoy in that. And same way, the vision of a devotee is that he sees Krishna everywhere and in everyone. And that's why the Lord, he manifests this material world, and today we try to display the material universes and the spiritual universes. And the verse which we, the translation which we wrote, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, that I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. And usually we can't see the source in the manifestation. Any product, if you go into the market, there is always a tag that is put, Reliance Fresh or Apple or Samsung. They put the tag that who is the source of this product. But surprisingly, Krishna doesn't put any tag anywhere, except when you go to Vrindavan, where you see names of Krishna and Radharani there. In the creation, God doesn't put a tag to say that the product is mine. And the reason obviously is that because we have come here to not want to see that connection to Krishna. But still he sends a label. He sends a manual, that is the Bhagavad Gita. And when we use the Bhagavad Gita, and when we read and see the world through that Jnana Chakshu, we start to see that label. There is this pen that writes, but you can't read the script. Only when fire is put, then the letters are manifested. Right? Sometimes this, they use, what is it called, that pen? A lemon pen. There is a pen which you write, it is not visible. But you have, once you put fire under it, then under that fire, you start to see the what is the script that is written. Same way, under the fire of the knowledge, we start to see the Krishna's presence everywhere in the universe. And without that fire, the world appears to be as if going by chance or different theories that are coming up. So with the universe, there is a physical aspect that we see, and there is a metaphysical aspect that which we can't see. Something that who made this, like just the whole setup of the sound system. Now we see the physical aspect that there is a mic, there is a water kept here. But the metaphysical aspect of it, that who kept it here in this particular arrangement, that cannot be seen now. It was pre-arranged. Same way Krishna, he tells the metaphysics, the background or who arranged the world. And also in this particular verse, he shows that what do we see, we have to see Krishna even in that. So why do we need to understand the philosophy or the metaphysics of the pre-arrangement? So that we know the position of the Lord. That what is the Lord's position? He is not just any, or as they say, Tom, Dick and Harry. But he is not like that Tom, Dick and Harry, that anybody can make this universe. So by understanding the beauty and the greatness of how the Lord has made, we understand the position of the Lord. And once we, that is the tattva, that is the philosophy. And once we understand the position of the Lord, how great the Lord is, then we come, when we come to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the different pastimes or the leelas of the Lord, they give us a glimpse into the disposition of the Lord. What is the Lord's mentality? So both are important, the position of the Lord and the disposition of the Lord, that what is the purpose for which he made. And many a times we tend to forget the purpose for which this has been made. Once Albert Einstein, he was going on a train. And as he was going, the TC came, check the tickets in Germany. And Albert Einstein started to look for his ticket. And usually with intelligent people, they are not careful with small things. So he was not able to find his ticket. And the TC could recognize this is Albert Einstein. And he said that, don't worry sir, I accept that you must have bought a ticket and you being such a great man, your coming on the train is itself a privilege. So I trust you don't have to check the ticket. And the TC passed. But still Albert Einstein was still checking the ticket. Where is the ticket? So the TC again came and told him that don't worry, you don't have to worry about the ticket. Then Einstein revealed his real anxiety. He said that I am not looking for the ticket to show you where that I have the ticket or not, but I am looking for the ticket because I don't know where I have to get down. Because usually the servants book, the secretaries book the tickets. And the busy people, they don't see till the actual event happens that where they are supposed to go. So he didn't know where he is going. So therefore he was in anxiety. So same way we have the ticket, we don't have the ticket, and we are not even worried that where I am supposed to get down. We are thinking that we just have to be in this train forever. But the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ticket where we have to find that the Lord is not lost and He is everywhere. Once a saint made an anecdote. He said that people talk about finding God as if He can get lost. God is not lost. What is lost is our vision of seeing Him. And recently we celebrated the Narasimha Chaturdashi, appearance of Lord Narasimhadev and disappearance of Hiranyakashipu. So in that, there was contrast. There was Prahlad who could see God everywhere. He could see God in anything and everyone, he was able to see God. And here was Hiranyakashipu, who had conquered the whole universe, but he was not able to see God anywhere. So in English, they call it, God is nowhere. That was Hiranyakashipu's vision. And in that same sentence, if you just change the comma, it becomes, God is now here. That was Prahlad's vision, that he was able to see Krishna everywhere. And even in the pillar, he was able to see Krishna. And therefore, he said, yes, Krishna, the Lord is there in the pillar. And because we forget to understand the position of the Lord, and our disposition itself becomes against the Lord, therefore the Lord creates this universe so that we can try to be the Lord. Example is given of an orchestra. In an orchestra, everybody is playing different tunes, but it is all in symphony. But one particular person, he starts to think that, why should I play this way, this verse? And it is very strange that the universe is also called as universe. Verse means a song or a phrase. And uni means single. So the whole world, as the name suggests, it's all for a singular purpose, for a symphony. But those that don't understand this purpose, they try to play differently in the spiritual world, different beat. And then what are they done? They are placed into another room. Because if they are allowed to play the mridanga or the kartal or the flute in that particular assembly, they will disturb the entire nice symphony that is happening. So they are put into another room. That now is your mridanga here. Sometimes when you are getting trained, you are given bass classroom 9 or Bhaktivedanta hall. You practice here, and once you are perfect, some teacher will come, acharya will come and check whether you are playing the proper beats. And then he'll certify. Then the devotee can come and play in the Guru Puja or the Mangalarti. Same with the DT room, that the cooks are supposed to experiment and do it otherwise, and then once they are perfect, a expert cook certifies it, now your preparations are good, then they can come and offer it. So this world is that place where we are supposed to get trained in synchronizing ourselves with the Lord or in learning how to please the Lord. And once the Guru approves it, and then we are again placed back into the spiritual world. So, Krishna originally is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is in many spiritual planets, the Vaikuntha Lokas, amongst them which is the highest is the Goloka. And from that, there is a whole description now recently. Radhika Vallabhapu has started this Laghu Bhagavatamrita classes, where all the avatars are being systematically, scientifically being explained. What is a Prabhava, what is a Swamsha, what is a... all these different scientific analysis. And Krishna, he expands also into the material universe. And somebody, one scientist, he is also a believer in the Vedic knowledge. So he was trying to understand that why do we don't see Krishna in this world? Although Krishna is there everywhere, why don't we see him? Because maybe he exists on a different dimension than what we can perceive. As all of us know, that we can only perceive three dimensions. The height, length and breadth, or the three things, length, breadth and height. And the fourth dimension which we can certainly perceive is the time. Time we cannot see immediately happening, but over course of time we can understand, yes, time is passing. Like there was a prince that was very proud of his beauty. And because he was proud of his beauty, he was not paying attention to his responsibilities or trying to understand what is Krishna consciousness. So a saint came there, and anybody who used to come there, he used to ask them, please praise my beauty. And because he was beautiful or they wanted some bounty, they were praising him. So this saint, he came and one day he praised this prince. The next day, the saint, this sage didn't praise the king. Didn't praise the prince. So the prince asked, why are you not praising me today? So the sage said that, you are not beautiful as yesterday. You are more beautiful yesterday, but today your beauty has gone down. So the prince looked into the mirror. Said, no, I look the same. He asked everybody, do I look the same? Say, yes, you look the same, as beautiful as yesterday. And the sage, he said that they cannot see what I can see. I'll show you. So he took the prince to another room. And this another room, the sage, he asked for a bowl of water. So the bowl of water was brought. And he asked the prince, do you see this bowl of water? Yes, I see. Then he took a spoon. And he took a spoonful of water from that bowl and threw it. And do you agree that I have reduced the quantity of water in this? Yes, you removed a spoonful. Now call your servant that brought the bowl full of water. And ask the servant, can he see any difference in the bowl of water? He saw the bowl and he said, I don't see any difference. And the sage said, this is how the time factor works. It removes our strength, our beauty, our qualities, spoon by spoon. And because it removes spoon by spoon or drop by drop, we tend to see the change. But otherwise, the gross things, the three dimensions, we can immediately note the difference. The chair has been moved here or there, we can notify. But the time factor, how it works, we cannot. And therefore, although we all have a sense of understanding, the scientists also have a sense of understanding that time works, but we don't able to see directly. So therefore, time is a bit metaphysical. Therefore, something like a table, if you break the table doesn't exist. The table is broken. The concept exists, but the table itself doesn't exist if you break it. But the watch is there, 9 o'clock. And if I break the watch, have I broken the time? If I stop the watch, the time doesn't stop. Because that is only a representation of the time. The watch is not the time. And so this is how the time is a subtle element than physical things that we see. And Krishna also says that he is the time factor that that he manifests. And beyond this material universe, he is there as the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu in the Satyaloka, or in the hearts of every living being. He is there as the Paramatma. And we are not able to see Paramatma, although time is passing by, because maybe he is in the fifth dimension. Fourth dimension we have an experience, the time factor. But because God exists in the fifth dimension, the Paramatma, we are not able to perceive him. And above Paramatma feature is the Bhagavan feature. And the Bhagavan feature, he says that it is even difficult to understand that there is a Lord that exists in another dimension, because he is also not just here, but he has a Goloka Eva Nivasati Akilatma Bhuto. He lives in a separate place. So this scientist, he says that original Supreme Lord, he stays in the sixth dimension, a dimension which we don't, somebody who is in the third dimension, he cannot perceive. And, but still, he explains that how he is in this universe, everywhere. And an example that is given is about the government. Now the government is mainly based in Delhi. The Lok Sabha and the Rajya Sabha and the cabinet ministers. But they also have here Mantralaya. But does the government of India exist in this room now? Does the government of India exist? If it exists, where is government of India? Can the government of India be shown in this room? Is there a simha, the four simhas, that the symbol of government? Does it exist anywhere here? The laws of government exist here. And if you want to know whether government of India exists in any place, like in this temple hall, just try to break the laws of the government. As you said, you kill someone or you beat up somebody, then you will see the police come here and arrest us, the Yamadutas. Because the government exists in this room, but it can only be perceived when you break it or when you please that person. Say, some of our devotees are into cultivating these ministers. So when a minister is pleased, then he personally comes to this temple hall to take the darshan of the Lord. So either when the minister is pleased or when you break some laws, the police comes. So the government only comes into action. Otherwise they are into maintenance mode. They are ensuring that everything is happening. They send monthly bills. But otherwise the government doesn't interfere, because there is some freedom that is also given to be used properly. And in this particular verse, the Harer Shriram, Krishna's body, the different things, the Kham, Vayum, Agnim, Shalilam, that how you have to see Krishna even in these material things like earth, water, fire, air and ether. Once in US, when I was distributing books, there was a professor outside my university that came and bought this book, Coming Back. And he started to read on his journey. And by the time he reached his home, he finished that book, Coming Back. And he wrote me a mail that very evening, saying that I am not coming back. That I am not coming back to you, because your book, Coming Back, speaks of some age-old things, some antique things, which we have already advanced. Your book is speaking about five elements that are there, earth, fire, water, air and ether. But now there is a periodic table. The periodic table has 106 elements, 112 elements. And some of us try to memorize 10, hydrogen, helium, beryllium, boron, lithium, I am missing the proper sequence. We try to memorize 20, 30, 40, 50, if you are into all this aptitude tests. But, and he, this professor wrote me back that your Vedic understanding is very primitive. It doesn't give you the proper, the advanced understanding that now that the science has. And in one particular talk called as Faith and Knowledge, Ravindra Swaroopu very nicely explains that why is it that Vedic knowledge sometimes appears to be primitive and sometimes so superlative that you can't make sense of it. Like one of the more display that we put, there are very few individuals that can actually fully grasp what is going on in the universe, how the universe works. And some scientists, they say this: if universe is the answer, I am wondering what is the question. Because if this is the answer that God has given us, they don't know what is the question. So the Srimad Bhagavatam also gives us the why is the universe made, the question to the answer that the scientists are trying to find. And it also gives answers to many questions that we have. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect questions and perfect answers. Not just perfect questions being asked, but the perfect question to be understood, that is also being given. So then I wrote back to this professor saying that the Vedic understanding, the Vedic knowledge is given in such a way that a layman can also get a hold of it, and a very advanced scientist can also get a hold of it. Just like the mobiles nowadays. The mobiles, to be able to use it, you don't need to be an electronics engineer or somebody from IEEE background. You can just, you know which button to dial, the T9 dictionary or the nowadays smartphones, you have basic working knowledge. But there is also a scientist behind that whole gadget that knows the whole, all the intricacies of how exactly the mobile works. So the layman has a basic understanding and the scientist, the creator, has a deeper understanding. Same with the Vedas, they give an understanding of the universe by which a common man can also get a grasp and a very advanced scientist can also get a grasp. So therefore they speak in terms that look to be very primitive. Like Bhumi or either Kham. Bhumi means earth. But the scientists say the earth is filled with so many different types of molecules and atoms and all this FCC, BCC, different things. But when the Vedas talk about earth, what they are referring to is actually the solids. That the universe is made up of five elements. The earth represents the solids. The water element, which is said, it signifies a greater thing, that is the liquids. And the air represents the gases. And the fire represents the energy. And the kham, ether, represents the space. And even according to modern science, the universe is made up of only energy, space, solids, liquids and gases. So if you use a different terminology, they accept. If you say earth, fire, water, air and ether, they'll reject it. But if you say, according to the Vedas, the universe is made up of solids, liquids, gases, energy and space, then they say, oh, this seems to be scientific. But then there is more description of how a Vedic scientist can go deeper and also try to analyze all of them. So when a devotee, when he sees matter, he just doesn't see matter, but he sees the cause of it, the person who is behind it, how it is working. Just like when you see a movie, the most appreciation or the most hate usually goes to the director of the movie. Although the director doesn't come into the movie. There are some directors, I know in the past, that also used to take some role. Somewhere they used to come as a guest appearance. Because they were so eager, main pura I am directing this whole movie, but nobody sees my face. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna arranges this whole movie, and when we are playing a role in it, usually we tend to not see the director. But an intelligent man or a person, he usually sees the director in each and every dialogue that is spoken, in each and every scene that is being manifested, that what a set has been made, what type of thrill has been created, what type of comedy has been created. So in everything that in this movie that is being shown, a informed or intelligent audience, he sees the hand of the director in everything. And a devotee is like that. A devotee just doesn't get absorbed in his own role or in the role that other person is playing. But he sees how Krishna is working behind everything. That's how Arjuna, in his whole life, sometimes Krishna came in directly. And sometimes Krishna helped indirectly. But in everything, in the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Arjuna acknowledged that how Krishna is there in everything that is seeing, that is happening in this universe. So therefore, devotee, he sees God in matter, just like an audience sees the director in everything. And also, he sees Krishna in the numbers that are there. The scientist, he is not able to understand that how there is such gigantic numbers that exist, the light years and all this. A devotee also sees Krishna in the qualities of people or things. There is a whole Encyclopedia Britannica. It has written 7 volumes on the qualities of water. That the glorious qualities of water that exist because of which there is life. 7 full volumes. And there is no time even to mention some of them. Those who are interested can check that out. And devotee also sees Krishna in adversities. When there is adversities that come, he thanks Krishna that, thank you Krishna that you are giving me this trouble so that I can get purified. Like a saint, he says that God only puts us into troubled waters not to drown us but to cleanse us. So when a devotee is put into troubled waters, it is only to cleanse that devotee, to purify that devotee's conditionings, or to glorify the glory of bhakti. And in prosperity, a devotee sees that all this is actually the wealth of Krishna. I need to give him back. And usually, God is called as God of gaps. Whenever there is a gap, we try to fill that gap with God. You don't understand the universe, you try to fill the gap. You are not able to get some money or some girl, then God comes into picture. So usually people see God in gaps, but a devotee sees God everywhere, not just in the gaps in that exist in his life. And the Goswamis, they just were not interested in seeing God, but they are more interested in serving God, that how I can serve him properly. And the best way to see God in or serve God is through the process of deity worship. Because in the deity worship, all the earth is used, the liquids are used, the gases are used, the energy is used, the space is used, whatever space is available is used to glorify the Lord. So the best way to not just see but actually serve through God, through matter, is through deity worship. And once that becomes very mature, then we are able to see God in devotees. That is, Krishna is there in every devotee that is trying to practice, and we try to serve the devotees. And then we also see God in every dominion that exists. Whichever dominion we go, we see God's hand in that. So therefore, let us not be grudgeful, but be grateful to Krishna that he has given us the facility and the ability to be able to do this. There is a nice conversation that somebody coined. It may not be factual, but it is, conceptually it is right. This is a conversation between Krishna and Karna. That how Karna is complaining everything bad that has gone in his life. He is saying that my mother left me the moment I was born, and I was considered for my whole life an illegitimate child, and people disrespected me. And when I wanted education, Janma Shruta, when I wanted education, Dronacharya rejected me, and I was considered a non-Kshatriya. And Parashuram also considered me to be not having good qualities, being cheating, then he rejected me. And then somehow he got cursed by this owner of this cow when he was, by mistake he hurt a cow. Then the owner of this cow also cursed him. Then Draupadi disgraced him. Draupadi didn't. So in birth he was, there was some kind of defamy for him. In education there was some kind of defamy. He was not accepted. And when he wanted to get married to Draupadi, again she rejected him. So he saw that all his life there is just rejection, and he thought life or God is unfair to him. And then this conceptual story that tells that Krishna starts telling what went through him. He says that you are just abandoned, but I was born in a jail. And being born in a jail is more defaming. And then death was waiting for me even before I took birth. Nobody is trying to kill you, but so many people were trying to kill me even before I was born. And the night I was born, I was separated from my parents. And at least you, Karna, you were grown up hearing the swords and chariots, you being Kshatriya. I being Kshatriya, I grew up hearing cows mooing and all these animals moving. At least somebody gave you education. Till the age of 16, I didn't even go to school. He went to Gurukul at the age of 16. And the Pandavas were given glory of winning the war, but I was given all the discredit of cheating and all these different kinds of accusations. And to whom I was loving, the Vrajavasis, I could not stay with them. And then I had to stay with those that loved me. Of course, I loved them back. But I had to go away from my home. Nobody took you away from the home. So therefore, don't just keep giving excuses for not following dharma. In spite of all the wrong things that the world may see in another way, still I never deterred from dharma. So don't. Let us not see life to be unfair like Karna saw, but let us try to see that the hand of God in everything, and that way we'll progress through using the whatever material responsibility things that we get in serving Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. So if something was useful, please accept it and give me the ability to glorify Krishna more and more. Hare Krishna. So time is up. We won't take any questions.